You're listening to the sound that a comet makes. That mysterious clicking comes from Comet 67P out there in the middle of the solar system with the Philae probe riding right on top. And it's been about 5 days since the Rosetta's Philae lander successfully touched down on Comet 67P. And after 57 hours of gathering data, Philae powered down for a long nap, its batteries dying early on Saturday morning. Well, among the last bits of data that Philae sent were the readings from an instrument called COSAC, which included an additional photograph and results from a drilling attempt in the comet's surface. Joining me now is Eric Hand, staff reporter for Science Magazine, where he covers Earth and planetary sciences. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
That sound is just great, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. What a ride.
And can you get over it? The first time I heard it, I thought, frogs in the river? Like, what is that? It's a comet.
Yeah, no, these are strange beasts of the solar system, always changing, spewing off gas and dust. They're unknown worlds.
Well, what have we learned so far? Let's get down to the facts. 57 hours of gathering data. Now Philae is dealing with a dead battery. So what have we learned so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to take a while for the science teams to figure out what they have and don't have. They're still just trying to figure out how the landing even happened. I mean, this fantastic bounce. It didn't land just one time, but rather three times. It bounced up in the air a kilometer high and moved a kilometer to the side before finally coming to rest. I think it's going to be several weeks before they have any sense of the data that they have in hand.
Now, we have to remember that the comet, it just doesn't have a whole lot of gravity, hence the bounce. It's not like you get in contact and you stick to it. It bounced and they had to use the thrusters on Philae's head to sort of push it down into the surface.
Well, that's what they were hoping for, and these thrusters didn't actually work, and neither did the harpoons. And so that was that was the main reason for the bounce. I think they actually consider themselves quite lucky to have stuck in the end at all.
So the batteries on Philae have gone dead, and that's no surprise. They got about 57 hours out of a 60-hour battery, so that's not too bad. But it has solar panels. Can those panels bring it back to life, or is there enough sunlight? How does that work?
It's doubtful. One of the very last things they did before the battery died was to shift the position of the lander slightly and to angle the solar panels a bit more favorably. But they're only getting about an hour and a half of sunlight every day on these solar panels. And that's just not going to be enough to really boost it back into any sort of science gathering position. You know, I think the best they can hope for is occasional radio contact. And then, you know, they're hoping that maybe as the comet itself gets closer to the sun, the light conditions will change. And as the seasons change, that they might be able to gather a little bit more light. So, you know, it's too early to say that the mission is completely over. But the landing component, I think, more or less is. They're also quick to point out that the Rosetta orbiter is still in wonderful health and is going to be circling this comet at close range for another year and a half.
Mm. Now, there have been some comments suggesting that Philae may try to take off again, maybe use even those spindly legs to kind of hop off of the comet, which doesn't have a lot of gravity, as I said. I've heard maybe even return to Rosetta. That sounded a little bit far-fetched. Because there's not really a point, right? There's no redocking procedure. Rosetta's not coming back to Earth, right?
No. This is the final resting home for the Philae lander. It doesn't have enough energy to jump or hop, and no, there's no way it could get back up to the elevation of the orbiter.
So, Eric Hand, we're still in the process of gathering data. It's going to be a while before we know what we know. But as you're covering planetary and Earth sciences there at Science Magazine, what are the top one or two things that you want to know when they start putting out reports or data from the team here? What are the mysteries of the comet that you think are the most important?
I think the big question about comets is so they're always described as pristine building blocks for the solar system. These objects were formed in the very first days of the solar system over 4.5 billion years ago, and they've been virtually unchanged since then. You know, they've been locked in a deep freeze. So if you can understand the composition of these comets, you then know something about the composition of the solar system itself. Another key part of that is many people think that comets were really important for delivering water to Earth. And by understanding the exact chemistry of the water in the ice of these comets, you can learn something about whether they were responsible for delivering that water to Earth or not.
And I wanted to ask you about that before we let you go, because there's a lot of suspicion that comets did deliver the water that make up our oceans. Kind of hard to wrap your head around that, but would we expect to find similar constituents in a comet as we have in the oceans? It's not going to be briny water.
No, I mean, comet ice is H2O, just like on Earth. The key question is whether the water on Earth came from the Earth itself, whether it came from comets, or whether it came from asteroids, or some combination of all three. And, you know, I think Rosetta is going to help us understand what fraction of it came from comets. Another big question is, how did this comet form? To begin with, this weird duck shape, I think they're going to have a really good chance at figuring out whether this thing came together as two different pieces or not.
Eric Hand, staff reporter for Science Magazine, covering Earth and planetary science, bringing us up to date on Rosetta and Philae riding on top of that giant cosmological dirty snowball that is 67P that has everyone fascinated. Eric, thank you.
Thanks very much, Todd.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.